Okay, good evening, everyone. Good evening, and welcome to our winter series. It is so nice to see everyone. And I guess the weather brought us into the zone, so we appreciate that. Just reminds us that we live in New Jersey by choice. Baruch Hashem. So we have a sponsor for our shiur tonight. I can't fully read everything, but it is Le'ilui Nishmas Levi Ben Meir and Shlomo Ben Tzvi. Is that correct? Which is the yard site? Oh, the yard site is tonight. And so it should be an aliyah for their nisham. Okay, wonderful. Okay, so welcome. We are setting up some shiurim over the next, number of weeks, number of months that focus on tefillah. Tefillah is, of course, a very ubiquitous element of our religious life. There is so much to say about tefillah. There are so many different ways to approach tefillah. There are so many different layers. When Avrami asked what the topic would be, and I suggested Shmona Esrei, so even for myself, like to try to give us some framework, give us some goal. You know, what's our goal? And I think that I started to think about that a lot because as I looked through really what was a pile of so many svarim, and those are only the ones that my wife knows about. See, we never do stuff at Shalom Bais. So I realized that, you know, if we don't have a goal, so there's just an unlimited amount of material that we could learn together about tefillah. So I think that our goal is not an academic study of tefillah. I think our goal in taking ourselves through Shmona Esrei is going to be to try to identify the themes that relate to the Shmona Esrei that are evident in the words themselves and things that we could think about as a sentiment in the context of our tefillah. In other words, you can learn tefillah like you learn any sugya, and you can learn a unlimited number of interpretations of different approaches and different ideas and different ways in which that you could understand things. But I think that what we're looking for, I think all of us are looking for, is not necessarily an academic study of tefillah, but or a survey study of tefillah. But I think what we're looking for is to enhance our davening. So we're going to try to anchor ourselves in ideas that, while they are themselves, I hope, somewhat profound and somewhat exhilarating and sophisticated, but they can be internalized in a much more condensed and a much more... do we have more source sheets? Do we have a... I know we have no confidence in the men, but they have 18 minutes, you know, so it's not... have an extra 18 minutes, the men, wherever they go. So it's not simple. Okay, you have more in case we have more? Okay, beautiful. Okay, so let's, even though I said we're not going to do anything academic, let's start with one thing academic, and that is source number one. Source number one comes from the Nesiv Bina, and we're going to just jump right into Shmona Esrei. We're not going to have a grandiose introduction to tefillah. We're going to talk about Shmona Esrei, and we're going to see that the very first bracha of Shmona Esrei brings us into the zone of the Shmona Esrei in a very deep and profound way. So the Nesiv Bina delineates a number of different nuschos for the first bracha of Shmona Esrei. We, of course, relate to the Shmona Esrei as somewhat canonized in the context of our liturgy. The Shmona Esrei was composed and formulated by the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. It is an incredibly old tefillah. And we have Cairo Geniza fragments that include parts of the Shmona Esrei. I mean, we have archaeological and serious evidence of the Shmona Esrei going back a very, very long time. What did they do before they had a Shmona Esrei is a very significant discussion. So, of course, we know that one of the primary expressions of prayer in the context of the Mikdash, and even before the Mikdash, in the Mishkan, was the world of Karbanos. And part of what the Gemara in Brachos says our tefillah is intended to do is to somewhat replace the institution of Karbanos with a more personalized type of experience. Now, does that mean that everybody who wasn't offering emotive tefillos that occur throughout Tanakh, a Navi that davened, a Neviyah that davened, a tefillah on behalf of a leader, so if these types of texts, if these types of experience exist, so presumably that's reflective of some underlying reality that people did have this notion that even as an individual, outside the framework of the formality of the Mikdash itself, that even me as a person living in Tiberia, living in Be'er Sheva, right? When the world had a Mikdash, so that was the focal point of everything that went on for the Jewish people. Once it became clear towards the end of Bayis Sheni, and even already in Bayis Sheni, because remember, a small minority of the Jewish people returned for Bayis Sheni, many of them actually remained in Bavel. Most of them remained in Bavel. And in fact, the whole institution of the Beis HaKnesses, according to most scholars, not all, but according to most scholars, actually originates in Bavel. It's actually in the days of Yechezkel. Yechezkel is the first one to use this phrase, Mikdash Me'at. That occurs in Yechezkel. He is a Navi that is living in Bavel. So they build shuls in the diaspora. And then when Ezra comes back, Nehemiah comes back, so not everybody is living in Yerushalayim. They spread out all over Eretz Yisrael. And that's when we have archaeological evidence of all sorts of Bate Knesios. And we have them in Gamla, and we have them in Masada, and we have them in Herodia. We have them in a couple of other places. But that's itself an interesting discussion. But there was a formal Nusach HaTfilah. And if you go through communities, go to communities throughout the Jewish world, one of the familiar common points is, of course, the text of the Shemona Esrei. And if you look at the Nesiv Bina in source number one, so he just has, I just wanted to show you a few examples of some deviations that do occur from different sources. So we'll just look for a second, just so that we, because we're going to address some of these phrases in terms of what they mean and what's behind them. So we're familiar with the first bracha of Shemona Esrei. The first bracha of Shemona Esrei is the bracha of Avos. It relates to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And in fact, our sources tell us that if there's one bracha in the Shemona Esrei that you are required to have kavana for, it is the bracha of Avos. And the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you do not complete that bracha with kavana, which often is a challenge, right? Pretty much everything past Elokei is, just depends on the day, if it's Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, but let's be honest, it's a big challenge, Kavana. So the Shulchan Aruch says you have to go back to the beginning. The Ramah says already, we don't do that anymore today, because our assumption is, you're going to mess it up the second time also. So why say it twice wrong? Just say it once wrong and move on. Now, while there is some, there is some humor to that, the reality is it represents what is an everlasting, aspiring goal that we all have to infuse our davening with a sense of intentionality, a sense of focus, a sense of meaning, and a sense of understanding. It is very difficult, and there are different levels of kavana. That's very important to know. One level of kavana is to know the translation of the words. That's an important level of kavana. What do these words mean? I remember when I started to take tefillah more seriously. So I actually sat there and I had an art scroll sitter since my bar mitzvah. And I realized, even with the art scroll sitter, I did not know the meaning of all these words. So I actually, why? Because it's very nice that there's an English on the side, but like, you don't really daven by going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. So what's the purpose of the English? Purpose of the English is that you could change the pages much faster, right? You feel like you're moving through it, especially on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, right? But so what did I do? I took my art scroll sitter and I went through the Hebrew side and I started to write above the words the meaning of the words that I did not know, so that when I would read my sitter, I know they published an interlinear sitter. I have tried to use those. I find them very hard to use because I find it very distracting to be told, to be shown the translation of all the words I do know, right? But there were keywords that I don't know. And I tried to do this. I did this with the machzer later in life. And then I remember I had a chavrusa in YU, and we used to do this every night with slichos, right? Which have a lot of very hard words. He's not from anymore. Anyway, but it wasn't because of slichos, but it was a little bit because of slichos. So anyway, the Nesiv Bina, he has different nuschos. So let's just look at it for 1 second. If you look at source number one, so look at the second paragraph. Hashem Sosai Tivtach. This is from the Geniza, right? So this is already a very, very ancient text. So first of all, it has the Yulu Ratzonim Refivia Gelim Bilufnech Hashem Tzuri V'Goali in the beginning. We say that at the end, it has the beginning. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu. The brackets are where it was, you know, the fragment itself did not necessarily have these words, so they're presumed, but they weren't extant in the manuscript. Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, Elokei Abraham, Elokei Yitzchak, v'Elokei Yaakov, Hakel Hagadol Hagibor v'Hanora Kel Elyon, Kone Shamayim v'Aretz. Right? That already is interesting. Right? Magineinu Avoseinu Mavtecheinu b'chol dar v'dar lo yevoshu lo'olam koivecha baruch ato Hashem magen Avraham. The Nusach of Rav Amram Gon sounds much more like the one we are used to. There are other Nuschos of the Gaonim, of Rav Sadia Gon, if you look at the second to last line in Gimel, right? Kel Elyon, Gomel Chasadim Tovim v'konei Akol, Zocher Chastei Avos Umevi Goel Lizaram Achareihem Melech Moshia Umagen. No, Ozer. And we'll see what the word Ozer means. Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham. All of them have Baruch Atah Hashem Magen Avraham, and we'll get back to that because that is a much older formulation. The Nusach of the Rambam is very similar to the one we have, except the last line, Melech Rachamon Moshia Umagen. And then there are a couple of others. So let's begin to try to unpack what this bracha of Avos is all about. So the first question is, why are we beginning tefillah with a bracha that relates to Avos? We know that the Shemona Esrei has three components. It's a triad. The first component is the shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a sense of praise of God. The middle is bakasha, is the requests, the supplications that we have from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the end is the hodah, is a sense of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Number one, why are we beginning Shevach with praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by reflecting on the Avos? And number two, where does it really bring us? And I think this is a very important question, because one of the hardest parts of having Kavanah in Shemona Esrei is that if you can't get into it at the very beginning, so you're sort of like half in, half out, and then when you get to Rifayinu, you wake up and you're like, oh yeah, Rifayinu. Or usually what happens is, Baruch Hashem Bonei Yerushalayim. And you're like, oh yeah, Rifa'enu, right? Didn't we say Rifa'enu? I had names for Rifa'enu. Let's go back to Rifa, right? So, what is the beginning of Shemona Esrei trying to accomplish? Why are we bringing in personalities? Why are we bringing in individuals? Why are we bringing in people who are essentially part of the narrative of Jewish history? When really the core of tefillah, and this is important to understand, the core of tefillah is to ask God for things. Everything else in the davening, from Birchos HaShachar, all the way through Psuki de Zimra, all the way through Birchos Kriyashma, through Kriyashma itself, through the Smichas Geula Letfila, all of it is leading to standing before God and saying, I need you. Everything that comes before is about creating a context of recognition and affirmation that God is indeed the source of everything. Because if you don't believe or you don't connect to that reality, then the notion that you're bringing your needs to God is not really an authentic and sincere expression, right? If you don't really believe that God creates the world and is the initiator of all natural order and is sustaining the entire synchronicity of the universe, and that God is in charge of what happens in governments and countries, and God is in charge of kings and princes and all the themes of the Psuki de Zimra, and an affirmation of the belief in the unity of Hashem, that whatever happens, happens, and will happen, is ultimately part of one unified truth. All of what the world of, and that there is consequences and rewards, all of this is leading us to a space where we look at God and we say, I need you. And the reason it's so important to understand that is because many times people feel like even though the bakashos, relative to the rest of tefillah, are fairly short, right? How much you show up at davening and it's 6:15 in the morning and you start davening, right? And you're going to finish by what here? 6:23, 24, whatever goes on over here, right? Whatever, you're going to daven for 45 minutes. How much of the 45 minutes is asking God for things? And how much of the 45 minutes are you're so this and you're so that? So relatively, in terms of the amount of time allocation, it's somewhat shorter, but it is the core of what we're doing. Because from the perspective of the human experience, in terms of what it means to be a believer in the Ribbono Shel Olam and live one's life with meaning and with purpose and in service of God, the most fundamental element of our relationship with God is to understand that there is a sense of dependency. To understand that He is in charge and that we are here to serve Him and that we need Him and it is not the other way around. It is one of the most fundamental aspects of our religion, and it is what makes our religion so challenging for people to believe in a generation like today, where the whole notion that the individual should be submissive to some larger authoritative being is so completely dissonant with Western thought and Western reality, that is part of what makes it very, very challenging. So when we talk about tefillah, and we're going to get to all these themes, we talk about tefillah, we are talking about standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu and not just asking for a shopping list, but that shopping list manifests a certain living understanding, day-to-day living understanding, a certain day-to-day reality that we are dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam, that we need Him. And to be able to express that and articulate that, that becomes the foundation of the relationship. Whether or not we get everything we want, whether or not we understand why we get what we want, the most important thing, and that's why, even if you don't have somebody to pray for health for today, or you don't have someone to pray for sustenance for today, or world peace, or whatever's going on, because everything in your life is perfect, Shemona Esrei still resonates with tremendous impact and relevancy to our lives, because it gives expression to this notion that we ultimately are dependent on the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that's why it's so difficult to understand, why are we starting with Avos? Why do we launch this whole thing by talking about Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? So let's explore that question this evening. So in a sefer called Tzoma Nafshi by Rav Drukman on Tefillah, which I picked up in Eretz Yisrael a few years ago, he addresses this question. Let's start with the second paragraph. Birchas Avos. Birchas Avos hi harishona, in source number 2. The bracha of Avos is the first, mibein abrachos ha-shevach, from all of the brachos of praise, uvikach mahava es ha-pesach letfilas amida kula, ve'af es ha-yesod le'etzem ha-tfilah. And with that, it essentially opens the entire tefillah of the Amida, and therefore it stands as a foundation to the essence of what tefillah is about. So why is that? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, these are stories. We learn lessons from their lives. What does that have to do with tefillah? Kefi shekvar lamanu atfilah hi derech lihidavek bahashem ulevate es hakesher shalanu elav. The essence of tefillah is to create a sense of connection between us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to nurture that kesher, that connection between us and between God. B'tchilas ha-tfilah, at the very outset of tefillah, anu omdim al mahus ha-kesher shebein Am Yisrael lebein Ribbono Shel Olam. So what's the first thing we do when we open our mouth, standing before God in the world of Shemona Esrei? Is we are omed, we substantiate the essence of what that connection actually is. And what is that connection? V'alkein anu poschim v'amru, elokeinu velokei avoseinu. We acknowledge that akesher hamiyuchad ve'ikar shalanu. What's the unique connection that we have with God? Why are we in the room, right? You know, we'll do a lot of people love in tefillah to compare. I was talking about this on at Shalosh Shuras. People love to compare it to going to the White House, right? Or they used to love to compare it to going to the White House, right? Now, you know, it's like, if you go to the White House, you dress up for tefillah, you have to wear, you know, a nice clothes. You go to the White House, you never talk in front of the president. So how could you talk in shul? You have lots of comparisons. So the question is, what is the nature? Why are we starting with Avos? HaKesher HaMiyuchad. That means, why are you in the room? What gives you the authorization? What gives you the privilege to be able to address the King of Kings? Why don't we look at the world from a more universalistic approach and there is a God that is essentially worrying about or contending with every dynamic of human existence, of nature, of the world, of people, of nations, of countries, of the universe, of stars, there's a lot going on. So what essentially emboldens Yaakov Glasser to stand up before God and say, "Hi, I have issues," right? Which is what I share with a lot of people, right? But I have issues. I have health issues. I have sustenance issues. I have political issues. I have all my issues. I have issues. Who are you? Who are you to have this conversation? We're dealing with the Melech Malchei Amlochim, right? In human affairs, not every yatz gets to go talk to the head of an entire company, the head of an entire... Yeah. Who are you? You're nobody. So what gives us the right to even open our mouth before this Melech Malchei Amlochim? We just spent the last 20 minutes talking about Baruch She'omar V'Hoya Ha'olam. You're talking about the being that just utters something and brings into existence a world. And then you're talking about the being that is able to govern the cosmos, and you're talking about a being that's able to dispense justice in the world, and you, Yaakov Glasser, in Passaic, New Jersey, you're going to get up and have a conversation with this God? It's hard sometimes, right? I find it, actually, in certain ways, I find this even harder when you go to places where there's more people davening. You ever stand at the Kotel in one of these like mega situations, and you're looking around and you're like, is he really listening to me? Because like, that guy looks like he's really davening well. Like, he's probably listening to him. And that guy, he's screaming things. I don't know what he's doing, but he's probably listening to him. That guy's blowing the shofar, even though it's August. He's probably listening to him. That guy's wearing sackcloth for some reason. That guy's, you know, like, and you're just like, you're with like thousands of people, and you're like, really? Like, he's listening to... So that's the first step in Shmoneh Esrei, to feel worthy of this conversation. And that is what the Bracha of Avos is all about. It is a confidence-building foundation for ourselves to feel worthy to open this conversation. And what is it that gives expression to that worthiness? Elokeinu and Elokei Avoseinu. First of all, this God that is running this huge world, he's not just a God that sits there and deals with the macro. He's Elokeinu. He's a personal God. He takes personal interest in what's going on in my life. Velokei Avoseinu. And I am part of something bigger. Something bigger that God is invested in. Something bigger that God himself initiated. Something bigger that God created this world for a purpose. Elokeinu velokei avoseinu. I'm not just coming for myself. And it's not just about protexia. Like, oh, and again, that's an interpretation also. That's what I mean by the difference between interpretations and interpretations that help us with our davening. The avos have schusim. So we want to mention their schusim because it's good for us. Right? And I think that's the Pashut interpretation of Avos, right? Hey, Hashem, Avram was a great guy, right? I know that I just was a disaster today, but don't forget that 2,500 years ago, there was a guy who listened to everything you said. And my cousins, sisters, mothers, brothers, 200 generations, I'm related to that guy, right? That's the conversation. That's Chus Avos, and we'll get to what Chus Avos really means. But the point is, the first thing we say is Elokeinu velokei avoseinu. It's that there's a context here. The context is, I'm worthy of this conversation. I'm worthy of this conversation because my belief, my emunah, is about my personal relationship with God. And I'm worthy of this conversation because, by the way, my avos created a covenant with you that gives my life a certain mission. And I can't accomplish that mission if I am destitute or sick or under attack or unredeemed or mentally unstable, or I can't accomplish that mission. I need and am dependent upon you to empower me to move forward with what we are supposed to be doing here. Elokeinu That's why some of the Mefarshim say, I think this Rav Schwab says this, that one of the purposes of Kriya Shema in the Birchos Kriya Shema, as we lead up to Shmona Esrei, so the Birchos Kriya Shema have all these mentions of angels and stuff like that, right? The Ofanim and the Chayos HaKodesh, right? And you listen to people in Shachris, they like get really animated at these points, you know? The Chayos HaKodesh, you know, and you're just like, what are the holy animals? Like, what are you even talking about? Like, why are we discussing angels? Like, what, Ofanim and Chayos HaKodesh, what does that have to do with anything? So Schwab says, I'll tell you what it has to do with it, because we're creating a contrast here. The contrast is, we're looking at God and we're saying, you have to understand the context of the conversation we're about to have. There are beings in this universe, like angels, who live an existence that is essentially an automated expression of your will. And then there are beings in this universe that are endowed with free choice to decide what they want to do with their life in this universe. It's not an automated reality like an angel. They're not just an extension of your free will. They could choose to follow your will, and they could choose to ignore your will. And then you look at God and you say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I want you to understand where I flow. I don't have to do this. I choose to declare my faith in God. And on that foundation, Baruch Ato Hashem, you, God, are the source of all blessing, which is how the Sefer HaChinuch translates those three words, which is very important. It's not, blessed are you, God. God does not need to be blessed. We don't bless God. God's not, you know, you know what I'm saying? Like in between soup and, oh yeah, the third one, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, God doesn't need your bless you, bless God. He doesn't need our blessing. We acknowledge and we affirm that He's the source of blessing. If we can't get past those three words, then pretty much all the words that come next are not really that important. Because we don't believe that He's the source of blessing. The first thing we do is we acknowledge Baruch Atah Hashem. And then we're going to get to, a little later, why there's no Melech HaOlam. That should also be introduced here, right? Right? Baruch Atah Hashem. You, God, are the source of all blessing. Elokeinu, you're my God. You care about me. And I have a purpose in this world. Velokei Avoseinu. And that purpose is not just defined by me in my life and my issues on Brook Avenue. It's about a larger historical narrative that I'm part of. I'm part of something bigger. Elokeinu velokei avoseinu. And that's what he quotes Rav Kook. Mevarer harav zatzal be'achas megrosav shayisod hamahuti shel hakesher shelanu al Hashem noveya miteva hakedusha shebenishmas Yisrael miyerushas ha'avos. That the way in which we relate to our unique connection to God has to do with the continuity that exists from the spiritual reality of our avos. And that is not some magical connection or beautiful legacy that we're related to Avraham, so because he did great things, we should get credit for those things. We are an extension of the promise, the ambition, and the plan of Avram Avinu. We're part of something. And that is a very important mindset to get into when you begin with tefillah. It's part of what gives you a certain sense of confidence to ask for something. This is not like, I'm having a bad day, please make me feel better. There's a why I want to feel better. And that why has to do with a bigger vision of what my purpose is in this world. The Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha, in source number 3, actually asks, and I've quoted this Ramban many times, but we're going to use a different answer this time. I actually spoke about this at the Timei. I gave the drusha at the Timei in the Shabbos. So I spoke about this Ramban, but gave a completely different answer. The Ramban says, at the beginning of last week's Parsha, V'nezos ha-parsha lo biara kol ha-inyon ki mat'am she'amer lo ha-kadosh baruch hu azov artzecha ve'etiva imcha ha-tova she'lo oisa kamoa ba'olam. So he says, the Ramban asks a very simple question. Parsha's Lech Lecha opens, Lech Lecha me'artzecha me'latcha me'beis avicha.
Go, El Aretz Asher Areka, and I'm going to make you into a great nation, and I'm going to build you into a people, and there's going to be a promise, and there's going to be a legacy, and there's going to be all these things. Says the Ramban, who's Avram Avin? Who is this guy? We don't even know who he is. All it says at the end of Parshas Noach is that he was born, and that his family tried to go to Canaan. They landed in Haran. Who is this guy? So the Midrashim and the Rambam and Hilchos Avodas Chachamim has all the backstory that we know about Avram Avinu. He grew up in Terach's house and he asked questions and looked for God and Hashem found him and he talked to him and all these different things. But who is he? How come that's not in the Torah itself? And the Ramban has his own answer to that question. But in the Sefer Tzomanashi, he quotes Maharal that has a different answer. The Maharal says the following: Maharal ona l'sheila zu, bekachshu mazber zahed hevdela ikroni shebein bechiras Hashem b'Noach lebein bechira b'Avraham. Right? So, what's the difference between Noach and Avraham? So listen to this: Eitzel Noach. So we like to compare Avraham and Noach, right? What's the in vogue approach? Noach is just about himself, and Avraham reached out to the world. So listen to the way the Maharal formulates it. Noach lo haisa rak bechira pratit. Va bechira ha pratit hi lefi mashehu ve hakol lefi maset sidkus shalom. Noach was about Noach. God found one man whose ethical and moral standing transcended the people around him. And he felt that he could rebuild this world around this one man, but it was really about Noach. Noach as a prototype. Noach as a paradigm. Noach as an individual who conceptually represented the basic foundations of ethical behavior in the world. And we will repopulate based on the paradigm of Noach. We'll save this one guy. It's all about him. He's in a teva. And his legacy is, he's a survivor. He was able to lock himself in that boat. And he was able to ride out the storm and emerge and somehow begin the world again. But it's really all about Noach as an individual. Aval be'Avraham lo haisa bechira pratid rak be'uma ha'yisraelis she'em zar'o. With Avraham, from the very beginning, from the first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avraham, it's never about him. It's about him building something bigger. It's about him building a people. It's about him building a nation. It's about Avram Avinu, and the first thing he does, Shari Kasaba also Bechira Eschal Goy Gadol, Vizeh Bechira Klalit, this is a generalized choosing. Ubechira Kemo Zos Ain't Ola B'maisa Klavel O'Becheid Ki Amaisa Hu L'Prat. We'll get back to that. But the point is that what Avraham builds is a nation. He builds a people. And already the Rambam in those introductory words in Avodas Chachamim talks about how he and Sarah went out and they started all of this movement to bring the world of monotheism to people all over the world. It's never about them. It's about the tent of Avram and Sarah is open on all sides. They're not locked in an ark. They're trying to bring truth to the larger world. They're trying to bring truth to humanity, not even to Jews. And they're trying to initiate what it means to live life with a purpose, with a mandate, to create something. They're not a pattern that we replicate. They're the beginning of a movement that you're a part of. There's no Noach movement. There's a Noach typology. He's a prati. With Avram Avinu, it's the beginning, not just of a family, it's the beginning of a nation. It's the beginning of a reality. So he writes, "Bekach shator in the third, bekach shatora enemeta eres et sinkaso shalavim avinu betchilas karosav." So then he answers the question. So that's why we don't talk about Avram's biography, because where Avram was born and at what age he finished shas and when he was chazering shnayim mikra on the swings and when he gave up chess and his finger got stuck in the door and he didn't care and he was very nice to his wife, like all of those great art scroll biography stories don't matter for Avram Avinu. It's not about him. It's about him building a people. We don't relate just to Avraham himself. And so therefore, it's about the yetzira of an am, of a nation. Bekevan Shereishis Yitziras Am Yisrael Haisa Be'avos Mimela Muvan Shereishis Achibur Shalonu El Hashem Notes Be'avos. So since the foundation of us as a nation is in the Avos, that becomes the foundation of our personal relationship with God, is through the Avos. That's why you're standing here. We're standing here in this Shmona Esrei, in this unique dialogue with God, because we are coming to it as children of Avram, of Yitzchak, of Yaakov. It's not just that we have connections and protexia. We're driven by something bigger. It creates a context for tefillah and for what we're going to ask for that is so much bigger. And then when we think about our bakashos, we think about them so differently. Not only do we think about differently in tefillah, we think about them differently in our lives. We ask ourselves, why do we need health? Why? What are we going to do? Let's say God says, you know what? I'm going to heal you. I'm going to heal you. Or I'm going to slow down your process of deterioration. I'm going to give you more time. Or I'm going to help you find a cure for something. Let's say God gives us that answer. So in the world, how is that related to? That in and of itself is what we're asking for. That in and of itself is what we're asking for. In our world, we're not asking for health because of our compassion that people shouldn't live life in pain. We're asking for health l'man something else, to accomplish something, to do something, to impact something, to be part of something. And that completely reorients how we view our needs. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not saying no because God is, God forbid, a jerk and just doesn't want to heal you. It's because what you think your role is, it isn't. You have a different role. And you have to figure out what that role is, because whatever configuration of reality that God has given you, He has given it to you for a purpose, for a reason. And you have to figure out what the purpose and what the reason is. So we turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as human beings, as finite human beings, and we say to Him, we're here to accomplish something, whatever that is that we're here to accomplish. And we need health and fortune and peace and security and serenity and support and redemption in order to accomplish those things. And we are dependent on you, the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we're asking you for those things. And when those things are forthcoming, that reinforces that that's exactly what you're supposed to be doing here. And when those things are not forthcoming, you don't walk away and say to yourself, oh, that means that I'm just going to suffer. You say to yourself, I obviously don't fully grasp what I'm supposed to be doing here. What I think I'm supposed to be doing is not what I'm supposed to be doing. There's something else I'm supposed to be doing, or another layer. Or it's supposed to be harder for a particular reason. What is that reason? What is that purpose? When you live life through purpose, then challenge becomes a redirect in reorienting that purpose, if you believe that there is a prime reality to why we're here. And that's why we begin with the world of Avos. Now I'm going to show you a comment in the Eitz Yosef, and we have to stop. A comment in the Eitz Yosef that is so unbelievable and so fantastic, we could have a whole shiur just on this. Eitz Yosef, which is a commentary in the Otzer HaTfilos, he says the following. So we got this. Baruch Atah Hashem, you're the source of blessing. Elokeinu, you're our God. Elokei Avoseinu, you're the God of our forefathers. We're part of something bigger. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Asks the Eitz Yosef, why does it have to say in like a distributive form, right? Or maybe not in a distributive form, right? Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. Why don't you just say, Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, VeYaakov? Good question. Listen to his answer. Masha Omrim Gimel Pamim Elokei. Halahoya Sagi Bepam Achas. Just say it once. Elokei Avram, Yitzchak, VeYaakov. Halderach Shemassinu Domar David Libno. David says to his son, what does he say? Va'ata Shlomo Bini. You, Shlomo, my son, da es Elokei avicha v'avdei.
know the God of your father and serve him. Va'perish ha'poshut, she'ein la'odom lahamin be'eloka mitzad mino gavosav. So the poshut shot is that what David is telling his son, Shlomo, is you should continue to perpetuate our legacy of belief. You should believe in the God of your fathers. Ki zeh minog ha'umos ha'olam. This is the way of the world. Ela mitzad chakira. So he says the following. I'm sorry, I misread that. Va'perish ha'poshut. She'ein la'odam lahamid be'eloka mitzad minog ha'osav. What I read as the presumption is already part of the answer. The pshat is like this, that a person should not believe in God only because of the minog havosav, ki ze minog ha'umasol, that's the way the world goes. Ela mitzar chakira al pi torasenu hakdosha, shehu kel abore yisporach v'yis'ala shemo. But rather, a person needs to come to their own individual recognition and understanding and relationship with God that is unique to their personality. Ulekach omar das elokei avicha mitzad hachakira. Das elokei avicha means you have to get to know the God of your father. Umatzinu be'avram shu ayachoker rishon v'huodia lokav ba'olam. So Avram is first, and he comes to the conclusion that there is a God. Elokei Avram. And then Yitzchak comes. So what do we say to Yitzchak? We say to Yitzchak, hey, you're an FFB, right? You're born from. Just believe in the God of your... Why do we have to do this? Because your parents do it. Why do I have to learn? Because Abraham learned. Why do I have to daven? Because your parents daven. Why do I have to keep 6 hours? Because your parents keep 6 hours. Why do I have to keep Shabbos? Because your parents keep Shabbos. That is Elokei Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. What does it mean, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak? It means that yes, there's a legacy, there's a momentum, there's passing it on to the next generation, there's a Mesorah, but Yitzchak has to find God himself as well. Velokei Yaakov, and then Yaakov, in the turmoil of his life experience, has to find God as well. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Velokei Yaakov. So what we say before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is we recognize that yes, we're part of this larger legacy of Elokeinu Velokei Avoseinu, but you know what? This conversation is not happening only because I'm an enekel of Avram Avinu. That's not where we are. You and I, we have our own relationship here. There's an Elokei Avraham, there's an Elokei Yitzchak, there's an Elokei Yaakov, and there's an Elokei Yaakov Glasser. Right? There's an Elokei Yaakov Glasser, which is whatever limitations I have of my understanding and relationship with God, and whatever successes I've had, and whatever failures I've had, and whatever moments that I felt that I was let down, or I let you down, or all of our relationship issues that me and God have, that's our own Elokei. And that's what we're saying at the beginning of Shmona Esrei. We are part of a legacy, but that legacy is a tradition of cultivating an individual relationship between each of us and the Rabbona Shel Olam. We're not just here because Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov got us in. We are endowed with the opportunity and the ability to develop our own relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Baruch Ato Hashem, you're the source of all blessing. Elokeinu. And I'm standing here because you're my God. You are relevant to my life. Velokei avoseinu. And that life is a life of purpose and of meaning, and it's part of something much bigger than just me. Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov. And that relationship and that context that I'm a part of is one that I make a unique contribution to, because that's our tradition. Everybody gets to make their own unique contribution. And that's how I come to stand before you. That's the world of the bracha of Avos. I apologize in advance. I have to run. I can't stay later to answer questions, which usually Amir Tzashem
I also can't shut off this recorder, which won't be